But John chapter number 19, and again, I wanted to give you some characteristics, some qualities of a godly mother. And again, thankful for the love and the influence of our mothers. And we want to talk a little bit about that this morning. And I hope the Lord will use this to encourage our mothers. But again, if you're sitting here and you're not a mother, please don't tune out, because I think it has applications for all of us to consider when we think of our lives as Christians as well, and leaving an impact on those that are around us. In 1914, that was the day in which a Mother's Day was designated as a national holiday. And I'm so thankful that in the day we live in today, we still, on the second Sunday of the month of May, we get to celebrate Mother's Day. And it is special in the fact that it does land on a Sunday. And so mothers get to be in God's house, the Lord's Day, on Mother's Day. And so happy about that as well. And so a day we've been celebrating now for a long time. And again, thankful for the blessings of mothers. But I want to look at some mothers in the Bible. And I want us to notice their qualities, some characteristics about them that should be godly characteristics of mothers that are in here today as well. And so let's start in John chapter number 19. And if you're familiar at all with where we're at in this particular gospel, you know that we're at the story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first mother that I wanted to talk about this morning was the earthly mother, of course, the mother of Jesus Christ, Jesus' mother, Mary. And we believe, and we make no apology for the fact that we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. And so Mary was a virgin when Jesus was conceived in her womb, placed there by the hand of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, conceiving in the womb of Mary. And so we know that God had a perfect plan for the life of Mary. The Savior of the world was going to be born, and God was going to use a mother to be able to bring Jesus into this world. And God chose Mary. The blessing that it must have been for her to hear from the angel that you will be the one that gives birth to the Savior of the world. Again, they had been hearing that he was going to come. There were many that even had scoffed his coming. You say that the Messiah is coming, but we do not see him. But God did keep his word, and Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, did come, born of that Virgin Mary, and she was blessed to be able to give birth to the Savior of the world. And by the way, right before we pick back up where we leave off here, let me just say there are some today that scoff his return again today as well. But just like he kept his word then, he will keep his word today as well. He is coming again. We matter of fact, we have a verse that we are learning as a church family. We didn't quote it this morning, but we're learning Titus chapter 2, verse 13 as a church family this month. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming back. We look forward to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But he came the first time as well as a baby, and Mary gave birth to the Savior of the world. I want us to notice the quality or characteristic of Mary as that of love. I want us to notice the love of Mary. And we pick up here in John chapter number 19, because Mary is standing at the foot of the cross watching her son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, as he dies and he is crucified on that cross. The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse number 23, it says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother And the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. We have, even at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, a beautiful picture of a mother's undying love. You see Mary here standing at the foot of the cross. She stood by him to the very end. Her heart was united to her son's. Can I say this? That Jesus was not only her son, he was also her Savior, wasn't he? And so we consider the uniting of the heart of Mary with her son, but then the uniting of the heart of Mary with her Savior as well. Consider Mary, again, hearing that angel. We read the account of that in Luke chapter number 2. The start of God's plan of Jesus Christ coming down here to be the Savior of the world, to be born of a virgin. And from that moment, Mary started trusting God's plan, didn't she? As a matter of fact, at first Mary had some questions about that. How is this thing possible, seeing I know not a man? And then the angel begins to help Mary to understand the Holy Ghost hath conceived in your womb this son that you're going to give birth to. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to bring salvation to the world. He's going to die on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins. And remember, the angel even said to her, there's nothing that is impossible with God. Remember the answer that Mary gave. Be it unto me, she said, according to thy word. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. At the moment that angel visited Mary, she started trusting God's plan. And we see her now standing in John chapter number 19 at the foot of the cross, watching her son, the Savior of the world, die. And I'll say this about Mary trusting God's plan. She started trusting God's plan when the angel gave that message to her, and she never stopped trusting God's plan. She stood in undying love at the foot of the cross as she watched her son, the Savior of the world, die on that cross. Can you imagine mothers as she stands at the foot of that cross and watches her son die? Can you imagine the taunting she must have heard from the Jewish leaders that were there? Can you imagine the tough treatment, the cruel treatment that she had to watch that Jesus faced from the Roman soldiers? From the time that Jesus, she follows him as he's led to Calvary, and as he's nailed to that cross, and that cross is suspended there between heaven and earth, and he dies on that cross, and the love of Mary, as she stands at the foot of that cross. Would you take your Bible quickly, and I want to go to the Old Testament of our Bible, and I want to look at two verses. Would you take a moment to look at the book of Isaiah? And I want you to consider the love that God has for us, the love that God has for those that are his children, and how that in the book of Isaiah, he compares the love that he has for us, the love that he even has for the nation of Israel, he compares it to the love that a mother would have for her children. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 49, if you would. Isaiah chapter number 49, and look down, if you would, at verse number 15. It says this, Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? He's asking the question, what kind of mother would be the mother that would fail to love her child, to forget the needs that her child would have as she has given birth to that child from her womb, and she sees the needs? What kind of a mother would forget the needs of her child and turn a heart of love away from her child. Do you notice that the Bible says that God uses that as an example for His love for His people? Look at the end of the verse, and it says at the end of verse number 15, it says, "Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." God compares the love that He has to the love of a mother who loves her child so much, there would be no way in her love that she would be able to overlook the needs that they have or look past the needs that they have. But no, instead, in love, she cares for her children. She takes care of them. She provides the needs that they have. Notice, if you would, Isaiah chapter 66 now. We're still in the book of Isaiah. Look over to Isaiah chapter 66 and look down, if you would, at verse number 13. It says this, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Notice he compares the comfort that he gives to his people with that of the comfort and love that a mother would give to her child. Mothers that are sitting here today, you understand exactly what we mean when we talk about the love of a mother, and we even talk about the undying love of a mother, where it's almost as if your child could do, it would be impossible for them to do anything that would be wrong enough to say you would be outside of my love. There's a love and a comfort in the heart of a mother, the undying love of a mother. What a wonderful picture we see in Mary. And then when we go to the prophet Isaiah and we see the illustration or the comparison of the love that God has with the love of a mother. But would you real quickly, if you've saved your place there in John chapter 19, would you go back to John chapter 19, and I want to read through two verses that we already read, and I want you to notice the love of Jesus for His mother as well. The love that Jesus had for His mother. Now, this is a challenge for those that have mothers today. So the application would be really for all of us. I know some would have mothers that would say, "Well, my mother's in eternity. They're already gone." But consider the love that we have towards our mothers, especially for those that have mothers that are still here, the love and the kindness that we should show towards the mother that God has given to us. Look at Jesus' concern for His mother, even when He's dying on the cross. Remember, there was not a whole lot that Jesus said on the cross. As a matter of fact, we can just go to just a few statements, a few sayings that He said that He was on the cross. But one of those statements, one of those sayings that we can go to was the heart that He had for His mother. And notice what the Bible says again in verse 26, "When Jesus therefore saw His mother," and can you imagine even that moment when Jesus looked down and saw His mother hanging there in nakedness, hanging there going through the suffering of crucifixion, and have to notice your mother standing there watching you. Jesus sees His mother. The undying love of His mother to be there at the foot of His cross, knowing that not only is this my Son that I love, but He's the Savior. But then notice Jesus looks down and He sees His mother and He sees the disciple standing by whom He loved. So He sees that disciple standing there and He saith unto His mother, "Woman, behold thy son," pointing to that disciple. "Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother," and from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Even in death, Jesus is concerned about His mother and that her needs would be met, that she would be taken care of. I understand that a mother would certainly say that it's normal. It would be more normal for her to go first before her child goes. But here in this case, Jesus is going first, isn't He? And He is making sure that His mother is taken care of. The love that we see for Jesus Christ towards His mother as well, and the undying love of this mother, Mary, in this story, standing at the foot of the cross for her son and for her Savior as well. But let's, before we move on to the next mother in Scripture, May we be mindful of the fact that Jesus has love for everyone, doesn't he? It's not just the love that he had for his mother, but he had love for all of us in that he died on the cross for our sins. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Picturing the love of Mary for her son, the love of Jesus for his mother, but the love of Jesus for all mankind. I hope that in your heart you have already experienced the love of Jesus Christ. You've already come to know him as Savior, and you've already trusted and believed in what he has done for you when he died on the cross and showed you that love. Can we look at 1 Samuel chapter number 1? I want us to notice the next mother this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and I want us to look down, if you would, at verse number 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 9, the second mother that we want to look at. We saw the wonderful characteristic or quality of love in the life of Mary. And then I want us to look at sacrifice through the life of Hannah. The wonderful picture or character trait or quality of sacrifice in the mother of Hannah. Notice the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse number 9, Hannah is here praying for a son. She had been barren to that point, no fruit from her womb. She's now praying for a child. The Bible says in verse number 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness, that's Hannah, in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And notice what she says in verse number 11, and I want us to understand the sacrifice of Hannah here. Look at what it says in verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, I want us to notice Hannah's sacrifice in two different ways. The first definition of sacrifice I want us to look at that I think we see very clearly pictured in the life of Hannah is the sacrifice of being willing to give. Being willing to give. Here's what we would say about Hannah. Hannah willingly dedicated her son to the Lord. She willingly gave her son to the Lord for whatever it was that God had in the plan of the life of Samuel. If you're in 1 Samuel chapter 1 still, would you look down at verse number 26? It says this, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. Now she comes back to the very place that she was praying when she asked God for a son. God had allowed her to conceive in her womb. She gave birth to a son. She named that son Samuel, and she said, I'm going to keep my promise to God. So she came back, and in the presence of God, she's standing at the very place that she prayed, and she said, God, I'm the one that came before you. You blessed me. You allowed me to have a son, and now I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to sacrifice or be willing to give of my son, my child, to the Lord. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to dedicate my child to the Lord and whatever it is the Lord would have for him to do. Notice it says in verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. She desired to raise him for God's service. She willingly dedicated her child to the Lord. By the way, mothers, can I say that is an important part of your sacrifice when it comes to your children, to willingly dedicate them to the Lord. Whatever it is that God has as a plan for their lives, to willingly dedicate them. Say, God, I'm going to give them over to you. They're a blessing that you have given to me, and now I'm going to be a wise steward of what you have given to me, and I'm going to give that back to you, Lord. Whatever it is that you see fit to use my child to do for your honor and glory. But can I say this? There's a statement that I just made that mothers today, would you consider this? I made this statement a moment ago. She desired to raise her son for God's service. Now, there's nothing wrong with, as we're raising our children, nothing wrong with seeing them being seeing them involved in things that are temporal. But really, the main goal of parents raising their children should be to raise them for God's service, for that which is eternal. Praying, God, I want you to use their life for your honor and glory. It's not about trying to accomplish something that I feel like I should have accomplished in my life through my children, or what my goals and my desires and my plans would be for them. But it's to give them over to God for His glory, for His honor, for His service, and whatever He would see fit to use them to do in His work. So we gave you one definition for sacrifice, to give. But another wonderful picture of sacrifice I think we see in the life of Hannah is that she worked for the welfare of her son. That's another definition of sacrifice, to work for the welfare of another. She sacrificed herself for the welfare of her son, for the welfare of her children. Mothers, can I say today, you are a wonderful picture of sacrifice. You're a wonderful picture of sacrifice. I know I would say that as a testimony for my mother. I would say it as a testimony for the mother of my children. Wonderful pictures of sacrifice. How they are willing to give of themselves for the welfare of another. Notice in the story of Hannah, if you would, look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. We were in chapter 1. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and notice verse number 19. The Bible says, by this time now Hannah is, Eli, is ministering in the temple. And the Bible tells us that Hannah does something special every year for this child. Notice the Bible says in verse number 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. A mother that was willing to make a personal sacrifice. Mothers today willing to make a personal sacrifice. They're willing to give. First and foremost, I hope you're willing to give of your child, willingly dedicating them to God's service. But then, willingly giving of yourself as well for the welfare of your children. Now, perfect pictures of sacrifice for a mother. The sacrifice that happened or that took place just in giving birth to your child, right? The sacrifice that a lady made, the personal sacrifice, just to give birth to the child that you brought into this world, the pain that a lady has to go through, to sacrifice her own personal self to bring a child into this world. But then as children are growing, and as they're growing, the different needs that they have, can we say, mothers in their sacrifice, it is an endless labor, it is an endless work, it's an endless job, isn't it? That's why we would use the word sacrifice for a mother, the labor they put. But then can I have you consider the sacrifice of a mother when it comes to the spiritual part as well? Sacrificing yourself to make sure that you're praying for your child like you should. Making sure that you're teaching them the Word of God. Can I say this about Hannah? Hannah was known for her prayers, wasn't she? As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us she prayed for a son. God heard that prayer and He answered that prayer. Let me ask you a question, just thinking here this morning. Do you think Hannah was the type of a mother or the type of a lady who stopped praying just because God met that one need? I don't think Hannah stopped praying when God met the need of giving her a child. I think she continued to be a praying lady. I think she continued to be a praying mother. And so would you consider with me this morning that her prayers were even safeguarding Samuel as he was growing up? You say, well, how do you know her prayers were safeguarding him? Well, if you read through the first couple chapters of the book of 1 Samuel, you'll notice that Samuel was being raised in an environment in the temple that was an environment with wicked priests that were around him. Now, we're not going to go into detail of all the sins of these priests, but these were the sons of Eli. And the Bible tells us that they were committing some very wicked sin right there in the temple where Samuel was serving. Now, here's a mother, though, back at home who's praying. And her prayers were safeguarding her son as he is in that temple. Can I say, mothers, that's the sacrifice. The sacrifice of giving birth, the sacrifice of raising a child, and then the sacrifice of the spiritual part of saying, I'm going to give of myself to pray. I'm going to give of myself to be a godly example. I'm going to give of myself to make sure I'm faithful to what God would have me to do so that my children can see that in me, the sacrifice that I make on their behalf. I understand that the sacrifice of a mother is tireless labor, isn't it? It's said that mothers serve as cooks, they serve as housekeepers, they serve as seamstresses, they serve as nurses, doctors, lawyers, counselors. Mothers, have you ever had to be a counselor? Counselors, peacemakers. I'd say that all mothers would agree there's times where you had to be a peacemaker. Mothers have served as purchasing agents. Think about the labor that goes into being a mother. Teachers, and on and on and on, the sacrifice of a mother. But can I say the sacrifice of Hannah must have left a great impact on the life of Samuel? Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 26, notice the words that are said here. It says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. What does the Bible say is happening in the life of Samuel? He is being greatly used of God. Now Eli's sons, those wicked priests, they were not being used by God because of their wickedness. They were not near God. They were not in their heart worshiping God the way they should have. But Samuel being used greatly of God because of the impact of a mother who was willing to sacrifice. Can I say, mothers, when you're involved with all of your tireless labor, I think you would acknowledge with me this morning, it's worth it, isn't it? The tireless labor is worth it. The sacrifice for your child so that you can see them grow. And certainly a desire on your heart to see them love the Lord and come to know Him as Savior and live for Him. Mothers, we've noticed love. We've noticed sacrifice. Remember, we noticed the love of the Savior. Can I also have you, in your mind, consider the sacrifice of the Savior? That He was willing, like a mother would sacrifice for her children. He sacrificed for His children, didn't He? He sacrificed His life, gave His life for us so that we could have the hope of eternity. But then what we notice really quickly here, just two more mothers and their godly characteristics, their godly examples, the godly qualities in their life. I want us to notice Jochebed. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me if you would? Jochebed was the mother of Moses and the mother of Miriam and the mother of Aaron. The word that we want to use to be able to see the characteristic in the life of Jochebed is the word influence. So mothers, we've seen love. We certainly understand the undying love of a mother. Sacrifice, the sacrifice of a mother. And then the word influence, the influence that a mother has on her child. And can I say this? The influence of a mother is powerful, isn't it? As a matter of fact, I think we see that represented so well in the life of Moses. If you found your place there to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to read a few verses here in just a minute. But Jochebed is the mother of Moses, is the mother of Miriam, and is the mother of Aaron. And the Bible tells us that she showed tremendous courage when Moses, her son, was born. She placed him in a basket in the Nile River because there was a command that had been given, and she defied the decree that Pharaoh had presented that all of the baby boys were to be born. They were to be put to death. They saw how the Israelites were growing in number, and so the baby boys were to be put to death, and she defied Pharaoh's decree. And she even involved Miriam in her courageous plan, didn't she? Miriam stood there at the bank of that river and watched that basket that her brother Moses was floating in. She also was the one who talked to Pharaoh's daughter and presented her mother, Jochebed, as a possibility to nurse that child as he was a baby. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to notice the influence of this mother. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the way, we're thankful that they weren't afraid of the king's commandment, because God used Moses in a mighty way, didn't he? Look at what it says in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, the first 40 years, we know that he was in that palace there in Egypt. But the Bible tells us when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, verse 25, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses spent his early years in Egypt, but under the influence of his mother, Jochebed. And the Bible tells us that influence was so strong that even in the midst of all of that Egyptian learning and all of that Egyptian training, it couldn't erase the influence of a mother who came to the help and the aid of her baby. You know, there are many factors that influence our lives as we grow up, our growth, our development. But the influence of a mother many times is most unique. The influence of a mother, the tenderness, the love. We already talked about the love. The sacrifice of a mother is an influence that many times is greater than all of the other influences in our life. The influence of a mother, ladies, cannot be overstated. From the lips of a mother, children learn to speak, don't they? From the footsteps of a mother, they learn to walk. Can I say this? From the attitudes of a mother, they develop their character, don't they? Mothers, your influence is so important on your children. Your influence by your prayers. Your influence by your example. Your influence by your tenderness. It was said of Grover Cleveland that when he was elected as governor of the state of New York, he wrote a letter to his brother, and he spoke of his mother that had already passed away. And he said these words. He said, if mother were still alive, he said, I'd feel much safer. And here's why he said that. He said, I've always thought her prayers had much to do with my success. The influence of a godly mother. You've probably heard this statement before that Abraham Lincoln made, but he made a statement and he said this, all that I am and all that I ever will be, I owe to my mother. The influence of a mother in the life of their children. So mothers, can I ask you this morning to look at the tremendous opportunity that you have to influence your child for God and for His honor and for His glory. You either influence your child for God or you influence your child against God. But your influence is tremendous in the life of your children, and it cannot be overstated. And can I say that even applies to mothers that have adult children today as well. The influence that you have in the life of your children today. Think about mothers, the task that you have of molding the lives and shaping the character of your children and the tremendous responsibility that comes along with that. But along with the tremendous responsibility is the tremendous joy that comes. No greater joy than raising your children for God, than pointing your children to Jesus. Perhaps there are mothers that are sitting in here today that would say, I personally had the chance to lead my child to the Lord. I had a chance to point my child to Jesus. What joy in the life of a mother to be able to send them out from the home one day, to live a life of faithfulness and service to the Lord. That's one of the prayer requests that my wife and I have for our children. That they would, number one, come to know Jesus. And that, number two, they would be raised in such a way for the honor and glory of the Lord that they would live a life of service and faithfulness to our Savior. Oh, what an impact and an influence you leave on the life of your children. What a responsibility, but what a great joy. Let me finish with the last mother this morning and we'll be done. Would you quickly look at 2 Timothy chapter 1? We'll finish quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want you to notice one last word, character trait, quality that we want to use in the life of a mother to help us as we finish this message this morning. We'll be done in just a moment. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, I want us to notice this mother named Eunice. And the character trait or the quality that we want to see in her life is the character trait of faith. We saw the love of a mother and the sacrifice of a mother and the influence of a mother. But then I want us to notice the faith of this lady named Eunice. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, when I call to remembrance, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So what is Paul saying there? Paul's saying, Timothy, I see unfeigned faith in you. But notice what he says next. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The Bible says that Timothy is displaying great faith. Where did this example of faith come from? Well, it came from his mother. It came from his grandmother. Now, can I say this about our faith in Jesus? We do not inherit salvation. That's not what Paul's trying to say here. He's not trying to say, Timothy, you are saved and you are on your way to heaven because your grandmother was or because your mother was. We don't inherit salvation. That's a personal choice that we all have to make ourselves. But I will say this, it is possible, though, to have a Christian heritage where a Christian heritage has been passed on to us. And we saw that in the lives of our grandparents. And then we saw it in the lives of our parents. And then we came to know Christ because of the faith that they put in the Lord for themselves. So let it not be that mothers give their child a warm bed and they give their child good meals and they show their children how to dress nicely and they meet all of their physical needs, but they never meet their spiritual needs. That's what Paul says here to Timothy. Paul says, you had a godly mother who took care of your physical needs, yes, but she met your spiritual needs. She passed her faith on to you. Timothy, you had a godly grandmother who met your physical needs, yes, took good care of you there, but most importantly, she met your spiritual needs. May it not be said of mothers, may it not be said of parents, that we meet the physical needs, but we fail to meet the spiritual needs. You say, well, how do you know that they met his spiritual needs while he was young? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, just two chapters over, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You say, how do I know that they passed their faith on to him? Because even from a child he knew the holy scriptures. Even from a child, he knew that he had to put his faith in Jesus for his hope of salvation. Can I say this? They started early, didn't they? They started early to pass their faith on to their child. The responsibility that God has given mothers, that God has given parents. Can I say the responsibility to pass your faith on to your children starts at home, doesn't it? Now, certainly, church is a vital part of that, but it starts at home. It starts and falls. It falls right away on the responsibility of mom and dad at home. Mothers, would you pass your faith on to children? And then grandparents, pass your faith on to your grandchildren. I'll finish with an illustration that I came across as I was studying for this message this morning. It was the story of a girl who lay dying because of an illness. She was on her deathbed. It was certain that she was going to leave this world because of that illness that she had. And the mother of that girl was visiting her there in her hospital room. She said these words to her mother. She said, Mother, she said, you taught me how to read. She said, you taught me how to dress well. She said, you taught me how to conduct myself in this world. She said to her mom, but one thing you failed to teach me. And she said, and that is how to die. She said, I don't know how to die. I don't know what's going to happen when I leave and slip out into eternity. Can I say this? A good mother teaches her children the truth about dying. The truth of the fact that one day you're going to have to stand before the Lord. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you'll slip into an eternity without Him. Can I say the great task that we have as parents is to pass our faith on to our children, to let them know without their faith in Jesus Christ, they die and they spend eternity outside of Christ. One of our daughters, just the other night during our family devotions, we were talking about somebody that had passed away. And my daughter asked the question. They said, where did that person go? And we said, well, it depends on whether they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We didn't know the person well enough to make an answer. But she was asking a question about eternity. It depends on what they've done with Christ. Let's make sure our children know how to die, meaning know what's going to happen when they slip into eternity. That starts with us, doesn't it? The responsibility of passing our faith on. So could we make some applications this morning? Mothers, would you learn to be the right kind of mother? Mother that loves and sacrifices and is a great influence and passes their faith on. And then, would we learn as children to make sure we treat our mothers with love, to treat our mothers with kindness? The Bible says we're to honor mother and father. Can I say honoring mother and father is when you're outside of the house as well? Not just when you're inside the walls of the house growing up, but to honor and to love and show kindness towards the mother and father that God has given to us. And can I say this morning? Maybe there's someone who would say you've wandered a little bit from your mother's precepts. Can I ask you to turn back? You know, I would think about mothers that perhaps are praying, maybe perhaps for children that have erred, children that have turned away from things that they've heard when they were growing up, things they know they ought to do. Mothers, let's keep praying. And children, let's make sure we turn back. Let's make sure we do what the Lord would have for us to do so we can be honoring and pleasing to Him and to honor the mother and father that raised us the way that God would have us to be raised. Father, I pray that you take the message this morning and, Lord, make application of it in our lives.